All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Again, I realize the lateness of the hour and that type of thing, and we knew the service was going to go a little bit longer, but just bear with me. I want to talk with you about our Vision 2017 and visit with you about some things the Lord has placed upon our heart that we're going to be doing in 2017. I want to reflect for a few minutes back on 2016. I've already mentioned about the finances of the church and how God has blessed in such a tremendous way there. I want to also talk about the highlight within our We Place ministry. For those that are new to the church, we have a preschool that meets 4 days a week here. This past year, we had the highest enrollment in our We Place ministry than in its entire history, probably 25-year history or thereabouts. And along with that, one of the wonderful things is that we're seeing more of those parents that do not have a church background are now making a connection here to this church, becoming their church family. So that's been a delight to see. Within our missions ministry, again, I asked our different staff and folks that said, hey, y'all just send me stuff, tell me what's been going on. And I've got pages of things. I'm not going to go through it all. There's too much to go through. But I asked our missions folks to send me some information about things happening there, and so they wanted you to know about a few people. Of course, Lindsay and Shannon Shores, Lindsay from this church, they're in Botswana. One of the highlights for their years, 2017-16, that we were able to participate in is that they are now in their youth center using it as a place to mentor leaders and disciple those young followers of Christ there in Botswana. The Carlsons, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a video coming from Kyle Carlson, specifically for Willow. Kyle and his family, I believe, are from Sugar Land, and they left, it's been what, Bill? I don't know how long, about a year and a half, something like that. They left Sugar Land from a great church there to go plant a church in Baltimore. The North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention that we are part of has a church planting initiative going on in the Baltimore region. They are starting, I believe it's 100 churches in the Baltimore region, and Kyle is part of that effort. We're sponsoring him, and I'll let him share his thanks in a couple of weeks. But they have their first public meeting on March 5th, and it's just exciting to see. And maybe the most exciting thing that we have seen just in the eternal impact, all of these things are making impact, but it was with Dave and Jess Winiford. As you know, this is the Winiford's son, Dave, and he and his wife, Jess, are over in China serving there. And they went out this past year through some backpacking teams that they sent out, about 20 or 21 teams that they sent out to find ethnic minority groups in the mountainous areas, and they did language surveys. This is the pre-work into translating the Bible into their language. And as a result, in the past 5 years, y'all listen to this, in the past 5 years, over 60 people groups are now engaged through that work. Now, these are groups that range anywhere in size from 30,000 to several million people. These are people that don't know Jesus. They don't have a Bible. But through Dave and Jess's work and that ministry's work, now that is beginning to happen. Give God praise for that. Isn't that incredible? It's just like, yeah. Awesome. With our prayer ministry, again, they gave me a ton of bullet points. I can't go through them all. Landra, thank you for that. Just talking about some businesses that have been blessed with reliable staff that we've seen anywhere from babies to adults who are in critical condition in the hospital experience improvement overnight. We've seen breakthroughs in people's emotional health, things like fear, anxiety, and depression being broken off of individuals. Prayers for employment have been answered. Prayers for increase in the church have happened. One thing that you need to know is that we went back and we compared our visitor attendance from 2014 and 15 with 2016. Now, we know we have a lot more visitors than actually fill out the cards, but if a person like some of you today, if you came here today, you fill out a card, so we keep that card and we'll send you information and things like that. Well, we probably have twice that many people. The people just don't fill out the card. But we compared the cards that we had from those from 2014, which was like this, 2015 was like that, 2016 was like that. it was twice as big. I mean, that's an indication of just the Spirit stirring, you inviting people, and just the movement of God. This year also, we saw 40 people join our fellowship through salvation, baptism, and transferring or joining our church. Again, this past year, that was almost a historic number as well. We've only seen that happen just a few other times in our church history. So that's really, really encouraging to see those are markers and signs. There are, of course, other things. They also say, hey, Willow, it finally will be fully staffed. God has blessed Willow with people as we prophesy. Now, did you prophesy for the staff or just for people? Oh, prophesy for people. So they prophesied that people would come to Willow from the north, the south, the east, and the west. So here we go. We got the north over here, Wisconsin. We got East, we got Joyce Boyle, who's from England. She's now part of our congregation. She's our office professional. From the West, if the church votes, Davin is from California. And then, of course, here we are from the South. So just all this kind of good. It's a neat thing to see happen. And the One Church, One Day initiative, God has blessed that tremendously. I guess that is fully functioning now, that One Church, One Day a Week in Brazoria County is praying around the clock for the Spirit of God to move in power in our community. So some really good answers prayer. Doug mentions on his, from the worship team perspective, a couple of things I'll just highlight. One, he says that the worship and the audiovisual teams have always had talent, but the amount of growth I've seen in every single one of them is monumental. It brings me such great joy to work alongside these people. And during the course of 2016, every single person on our team has told me that Gene's skills have increased the best, that have increased the most. And amen, amen. Bless God for that. Gene is our, you've never seen back. He's the guy sweating behind the aquarium is who Gene is, yeah. So a lot of great things. We started up three new ministries, our healing ministry that we offer people, our inside-out ministry, talking about the healing of people's inner wounds, family needs, situations, and then our rooted and connected ministry, which is acting as our umbrella ministry for all of our women's work. So these were all new things in 2016 that we got off the ground. But as I said in the first service, I will say again in the second service, the greatest blessing above all these wonderful blessings is that God brought us Doug and Monica Shadak. Aren't you glad? Amen. That is, amen. That is, oh, I forgot to put that picture up. Amen. God brought him up. Brought us up there. What is that? Is that a cowbell? Oh, that is your cowbell. How did they make you do that? Oh, Doug loves cowbells. That's right. He does not. Anyway, some really great things. So for 2017, these are going to be the focus points. Of course, we'll continue on the things that we've done. And some of these, we're going to continue on, like, for instance, the building community and outreach are things that will go on for our 2020 vision. This 2017 vision is just a part of our larger 2020 vision. In fact, go ahead and take out the insert that's in your worship guide, and you can look at it with me. This is our 2020 vision. And so you can see, for those that are new to the church, that our desire is that people encounter the life-changing presence of God. And two of these that I want to highlight under vision priorities is that we want to, as a church, be able to accept people where they are. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then secondly, we want to invest in intentional relationships. One of the things that we found out when we did a church-wide survey in 2015, we asked the church then, okay, what are some priorities that you sense that the Lord is calling us into? And the two key things that you said was, we need a worship pastor. And ta-da, there we go. All right. And then the other thing that you said was, we really want to build relationships. We want to deepen fellowships and have community with each other. And so that is becoming a priority for us in 2017 and beyond. As you look at the back of it where it says ministry goals, again, the Sunday morning experience team, I've already kind of formed that team. We're still looking for another person or two, and that will get cranked up in the next month and a half. But the outreach, we're going to talk about that in the months ahead. But the whole thing really today that I'm going to spend time on is that center bullet point, which is building community. And the key objective, as you can read there, is to link every person with a group where they're receiving encouragement, support, and prayer. This is very important. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Acts 2, 41 through 47. And I'm going to hurriedly get through this. I thank you for your patience this special day. I don't want to just neglect where the Lord's taken us. I think everybody needs to know this. So look at this with me, and I need you to look at it either on your phone or if you got a Bible in front of you. And I want you to kind of call out the words that I leave blank, okay? All the believers devoted themselves, beginning verse 42, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Okay, to fellowship and to what? To sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper. So there you go. They're spending time together. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers did what? Keep on reading it. Yeah, in one place, and did what? And shared everything they had. So what's that a picture of? They're just hanging out together. And it didn't just kind of, hey, let's just watch a football game or whatever. No, it's a little bit deeper than that. I mean, they're sharing life together. They're building, literally building into each other's lives. And sometimes they would come together, and then it says in verse 45, they sold their property, possessions, and did what? They shared their money with those in need. So again, it's this time with people. They worshiped what? They worshiped together at the temple each day. And met where? In the doing for with the Lord's Supper. And did what? And shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And all the while, they're praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to the fellowship. To the what? To their... Add to their what? To their fellowship. Added to this relational connectedness, right? They add to this fellowship those who were being saved. Now, as a church, we need to develop our fellowship. Amen? We need to develop the relational connection that we have with each other. We're not a bunch of free agents here, just kind of doing our own thing, showing up, you know, at whatever time on Sunday, just hang out with the group of people that you kind of like. Is that we are, there are three things that we are. We're a body, we're a family, and we're an army. In fact, if you're taking notes, you may want to capture this. I may push away from it in a minute, but I'll come back to it. And you see all these different metaphors in the Bible that describe the church. The church is described as a body. And that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is very clear. As you read it, Paul says, look, the eye can't say to the foot, we don't need you. And the eye isn't just the whole, can you just imagine just an eye that was the body? It was just this big old eyeball. I mean, how weird. I guess if we were all big eyeballs, it wouldn't be that weird. But if we, you know, honestly, if we went to a planet and all you saw were eyeballs, you would just think this is the creepiest planet that ever was, you know? But the eye can't say the foot, we don't need you. We need every part, right? And that's Paul's point. Every part is needed. And so as you look there horizontally, across each of these, what you see, the metaphor, body, we're all a part of it. Jesus is the head. And the reason that you need the body is for support and dependency and nourishment. What happens, everybody knows what happens, if you cut off your thumb and you leave it hanging out, you know, in the tree or wherever it got hung up on, what happens to it? You're right, atrophy, right? It just wears out, just dead. I mean, it can hang out there for a little bit, you know. You can pluck it off the branch and bring it, and eventually it can attach it. But if you leave it out there overnight, yuck, okay? It's just not going to be good. And so some of us, that's what we do in our own relationships with the church body. I'm not just talking about coming to the Sunday meetings. I'm talking about being connected with other believers. We just kind of do our own thing. And so the key idea is this, is that we are incomplete without you. Say that with me. We are incomplete. Turn to somebody and tell them that right now. Point at them and tell them that, okay? Without you, we're incomplete. Amen. That's the whole deal. We really are. We're incomplete without you. The next one is that of a family. And so, Kristen was talking about, hey, I found my family. And Jesus said, that's the passage right there, Kristen. Mark chapter 6, he says, my brothers and sisters and my mother are the ones who do the will of God. That's my family. And then Ephesians 2 talks about us all being a part of the family of God. Y'all know that's an old song. Some of you do. Anyway, and so as family, we're brothers and sisters. Jesus is considered, the Bible says, he's our older brother, and that is a place that you receive love and care. What do you call a child that doesn't have a family? You call them a what? Orphan. And that's sad, who doesn't have a family. And I'm telling you, some of us, we kind of live like orphans, right? We kind of, I'm kind of connected, maybe I'm not. But if you're an orphan, what happens to an orphan? An orphan is always looking to find a place to what? To belong, to feel loved, to feel accepted, right? That's right. And the key idea is this, is that if you're not here, and I'm just not talking about Sunday mornings, but I'm talking about if you're not connected, if you're not, then we are incomplete without you. Or excuse me, you are incomplete without us. First one is we are incomplete without you, but now you're incomplete without us. And then the last one there and a few other passages beside the Ephesians 6, also Revelation 19, and first, I believe, maybe 1 or 2 Timothy, talks about us being an army. We're soldiers. Jesus is commander. And there are warfare, there are assignments that God has called us to do that we can't do. What happens to the soldier who doesn't go out with the platoon? What happens to that soldier if he's not connected to the platoon? Usually it's not real good. Whatever happens usually isn't the best thing, okay? He either gets hurt, he misses out, he gets lost, whatever. And the whole thing is that we are more powerful together. Say that with me. We are more powerful. Okay, you already said we're incomplete without you. Now turn to somebody and say, you are incomplete without us. Okay, turn to somebody and say that. Without us. Amen. Yeah, point at them. Hard. Yeah. You. And let's say the last together. Say it this way. We are more powerful together. Say that with me. We are more powerful. Amen. Amen. We're an army. We can do more together. We can make a greater impact together. Listen, Jesus understood this. Jesus could have just had a fan base, right? Just a fan base. Jesus is in town. And all the fans show up. Woo! Jesus, and he could have walked out, got on his camel and gone to the next city. Groupies would have followed him and, you know, had all the Jesus. He kind of had a fan base, but that's not what he was shooting for. What did Jesus have? He had what? Disciples, right? And these were people that he instilled his life in, but also they supported him. And not just financially, they did that, but they supported him. They were around him. When he was in his hardest place in his life, he said to Peter, James, and John, I need you three to stand with me. He took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain when he was transfigured. I need you there. He could have said, I don't need anybody. I'm fine. No, Jesus, what does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? Or what did God say to Adam? When he created Adam, it is not good that man be what? Alone. It ain't good for any of you to be alone. Okay? That's why you need a church. And again, more than just Sunday morning. Sunday morning. In fact, y'all do this with me. Y'all remember this one? Put your fingers together like that. Okay, here we go. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open it up. Here are the people. They've had a lot of caffeine this morning. Look at them. They're going after it right there. They need each other, right? We need each other. We got to be connected with each other. Jesus had that. We need that. It's a part of life. So, kind of wrapping this thing up, here's what's going to this thing right here. There are different levels of being connected to the church. This comes from Rick Warren, who came up with this many, many years ago. Many, and you've probably seen it. But it talks about the community level. That's the people who are not in the church. The crowd are the people that kind of show up to church every now and then, you know, kind of halfway in, kind of halfway out. You know, if it works out for my schedule, I'll be there every now and then. But all of us fit in the next level. You're here. You're the congregation level, right? That is the 70. Jesus had 70 people that were following him around all the time. And you would fit in that category. The committed level are the people who said, you know what, I'm going the next step. I'm really going to commit my life to other believers. And that's what I'm calling you to, okay? If this church is your church home and you're not committed to, say, a smaller group of people than just what's going on here on Sunday morning, I'm encouraging you to make it happen. Make it happen. That's where life occurs. That's where transformation occurs in some very personal ways. God speaks through the big group, speaks at the crowd level, but on the congregational level, there you have kind of the synthesis of the Word, of the living Word being expressed through people's life, touching you in places, touching you in your vulnerability, in your woundedness, in your lack of understanding, whatever it may be. It's this life-to-life encounter that happens. It can only happen in relationships. And what I've seen over the years is I've seen tons of people come to the big stuff, come to the, you know, the crowd or congregational level kind of things. They'll come to that, but if they don't bore down into committed level, eventually they dissipate. It's like, well, you know, why do I go there? I don't know anybody there. So I'm encouraging it, take the next step. Take the next step. If it's for your own good. And then the core level are for people in leadership. And that's for those who are committed. I'd say take that next step. Move into a place of leadership where you're actually doing things to direct ministries in or outside of this church. As we consider that, the question I have is this, kind of, you know, where are you? Of all those circles, where do you find yourself? And what are you doing to get to the next place? Well, let me show you, and I'll just, this is the last slide right here. Next to last slide is, you know, what we're doing. Okay, so here's what we want to do. These are things that we're doing right now. There's a whole lot more that we're going to do in the future. But right now, here are the things that we're doing, is that we're opening up all of our adult Bible fellowships. It used to be that our adult Bible fellowships were kind of age-graded, life stage-graded, and they probably still will be to a degree. But what we're telling our ABF leaders is, look, you can go after anybody, okay? Don't just say, well, we're just a bunch of old fuddy-duds here. I don't know if we, you know, go find other old fuddy-duds, okay, to get in that group. That'd be fine. But we're saying just go after anybody, okay? It's open. It's open. The other thing is on Wednesday nights, we're really going to try to make our Wednesday nights a very small group-centric emphasis. And these are the current things that we got going on. We'll offer more in the fall. By the way, for those of you who have not gone through emotionally healthy spirituality, we're going to start that up either the week after spring break or the week or 2 weeks after spring break. That's going to be on Wednesday nights. I want every one of you there. It is foundational for people who consider this church their home. It gives you language to understand your emotional and spiritual health and how those two things are so interconnected. So that starts up. That's a small group kind of based thing. So beginning, especially in the fall, we'll offer probably maybe one or two other small groups besides the ones that you see here. If you're here and you say, man, Wednesday night doesn't work for me, but if you've got another idea, go for it. Talk with me about it. Say, this is something that I want to press into. Our Rooted Connected ministry, as I said, what we're trying to do is put that all of our women's ministry under that. Guys, let me tell you, I would like for us, the women are really good about, you know, working together. I'd like for us to have some kind of men's sort of networking ministry where we're doing some of the same, not necessarily the same types of things, but where we're connecting with each other. Men are different than women. We know that if we say men, we're going to have a 12-week Bible study. You guys are going to be good for 2 weeks. We know that, okay? We know that. All right, so we got to think what would work with men. And where there are several things that we have ideas about, but if that's something that interests you, there's some men's things that we do have done, we'll continue to do, but we would like to have a men's ministry that connects guys with each other in a deeper way than just this occasional hi-bye in the hallway conversations that we have. The other things are short-term groups. We are looking at starting some relationship type of small groups that may be anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks in length. to help you out in your relationships. We're also looking at doing the same thing with short-term discipleship groups that teach very specific topics. Chris Calvert used to do this when she was here, things on spiritual gifts, spiritual practices, part of which will not only be to learn the discipline or the practice, or whatever it may be, but also to connect you with other believers. We would like to start up support groups. There's some wonderful things that are out there, lots of help, lots of tools. The Celebrate Recovery activities, grief and loss, addiction groups, parents with wayward children. Some of you, that's where you are. You got kids that are kind of left God and in places that are causing great grief for you, and you need support. And if that's something that you say, you know what, I'd like to give some effort to that. We have, I'm not sure how many, and Susan could tell you the specific number, I'm just going to throw out a number, but we have about probably 50 families or so that come to We Place, or preschool ministry. Many of those go to churches, but probably, I don't know, half, I'm throwing out a number, I can't really speak completely to, but maybe half of those don't have a church home. We would like to stop Mothers Without Preschoolers, and that's a way that they can receive some support as a preschool mom. Again, what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. We need each other. Amen? We need each other. All right? We need each other. God made us that way. That's not a weakness. God made us so that we have to have each other. So that is going to become an emphasis for us, not just for this year, but from this year moving forward. It's a part of our 2020 vision. So if any of these things interest you, talk with me about that. Email me, put it on the blue card as you're leaving, and we'll do some follow-up with it. So the last question is this, is what will you do? The early church said, you know what? It's important. You read it, Acts 2, it's important we be together. And folks, it is important that we be together. Amen? It's really that important. Y'all stand with me. Here is my question. Why is this so challenging to some of you? Why is it easy for you to come to some big event, but it's harder for you to connect at a more personal level? You say, well, Pastor, I'm busy, I got this, that. I understand. Some of that, it's true. But I'm not talking about just Sunday morning stuff. I just mean just really reaching out and developing close relationship with others. Why is that so hard to you? Why is that not a priority? Because, hey, our survey that we got back, 100% of you, bunches of you said, I want to build community. I want to build fellowship. So the question I have is, what's the reservation? What's the hesitation? As a pastor, I've shared this many, many, many times, but I've got a group of pastors I'm connected with at a heart level, that we share our life together, okay? I couldn't do it without them. Couldn't do it without them. And I'd encourage you to just go there with them over a long period of time, because that brings health to the bones. Amen.